The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, WPRV Radio, its management, or staff. This is Rhode Island's longest-running financial talk show, Money Talk with Don Soa.
Taking care of business and working overtime.
With market insights and so much more, talk to Don now at 437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790. This is Money Talk with Don Soa.
And I welcome you to the Money Talk program, everybody. You know, I came in and my producer says, "Hey, what are you doing here?" He says, I said, "What do you mean?" I said, "It's a holiday." He says, "Everybody else is off." And I said, "What are you talking about?" He says, "Oh, VJ Day. Oh, gosh. Rhode Island is the only state in the country that still observes VJ Day." And I said, "You know, I'm kind of hard-pressed. I got friends who are Japanese, you know. It's kind of cool. I actually like to go to Tokyo one of these days." In fact, my producer and I, we said, "Why don't we head out and do the show live broadcast from Tokyo? How cool would that be? We could do a whole week of broadcasts from there, right, the Ginza. I mean, it's crowded. That's what I heard. It's pretty busy. But we could, you know, we could work our way around. But, you know, okay. But I guess for the people who actually get a day off as a result of this, though, that's pretty cool after a long weekend. And it was a nice day today, I guess, overall. But we're here. The market was open because, of course, the Wall Street is open. The stock market and bond market were open. And thank God they were, because it was a pretty darn good day overall. Stocks ended quite a bit higher. Traders, I guess they started to feel a little bit more easing of tension on the geopolitical front. Not that, you know, I don't think you can depend on that for very long. We have a president who is very reactive. And when you have people that are reactive, things can happen that are reactive. And, of course, the market doesn't like that. The market likes stability. It likes dependability. It likes predictability to some degree on some levels. But today was, I guess, a calmer day. Dow Jones was up about 135 points. Goldman Sachs and Apple contributing the most to those gains. S&P 500 was up 1% with financials and information tech, leading all sectors higher there. And the NASDAQ outperformed everything, rising 1.3% as shares of Tesla and Amazon and Facebook all looking really, really good today. Now, stocks came off their second worst weekly performance of the year last week. The S&P 500 actually fell about 1.43%. But when you're falling from numbers like we saw coming into the month of July, I mean, let's face it, I mean, looking, if the market were to continue performing the way it did in the first 6 or 7 months of the year, we'd be looking at, you know, numbers at 16, 17, 18% return for the year if you annualized it. And I keep warning clients of ours and listeners to the Money Talk program. I said, please don't assume because you're halfway through the year, you get your June statements, your second quarter statements have come in and you're up 7 or 8%. Don't assume you're going to do 15 or 16% for the year. For a couple of reasons. Number one, it's highly likely, not guaranteed, of course, but highly likely that you're going to get volatility in months like September and October. Those tend to be volatile for a lot of technical reasons, not just because, it's just because there's a lot of, let's face it, a lot of these professional portfolios actually end their fiscal year in October. So they're going to do a lot of window dressing, a lot of last minute adjusting. There's a lot of activity in the portfolios in October because of that. And, of course, we're getting to the end of the summer months, the end of the vacation period, and you have a lot of people coming back from vacation who were contributing to what had previously been known as the summer doldrums. In other words, people are on vacation. They're not doing the big multi-million share trades during months like July and August typically. So things will slow up a little bit during those time periods. But now we get into September, October, and things start to pick up again. But then if you, my personal impression would be that at some point here in the third quarter, you're going to get a 3, maybe 4% pullback in the market. Now that's if you're invested consistent with specific market indices, like if say you own the S&P 500 exclusively, or maybe some small cap index like the Russell 2000. Or maybe even the mid-cap index that's out there. You can do lots of stuff. You can actually own them all, interestingly enough. I tell people, I said, look, why do you like the S&P 500? They said, well, it's more representative of the overall market rather than buying a Dow, you know, ETF, for example, like the Diamonds, which would give you a market-weighted ownership of the 30 companies that make up the Dow. He says, well, that's just 30 companies. So is it really genuinely representative of the market? Well, it probably isn't. But if you understand the intention of the original Dow, then you probably got a pretty good idea of why they set it up in the first place. They wanted an index early on that didn't represent the broad stock market. They wanted an index that represented the U.S. economy, something that, since the stock market oftentimes has been referred to as a mirror of the economy, and if the economy is doing well, then there's an expectation, of course, that the stock market could do well. And if the economy is doing poorly, then that would probably be a pretty good excuse for a decline or even a sell-off in the stock market, potentially. So a lot of analysts spend a lot of time looking at the economy before they even start looking at individual stocks or sectors within the market. But if you want to look at, so needless to say, the S&P 500 is 500 largest companies in the U.S. Now, that's a better indicator for what's happening in the overall market, although the economy is very broad and not all of the companies that make up the economy are very large. I mean, have you heard the old adage that says that the majority of jobs that are created within the United States are probably created by smaller companies, individually, even not even publicly traded companies, but maybe companies that typically will employ 15 to 25 people? Well, that's true. They're not going to be indicated in some index somewhere. But there are indices out there that give you a broad picture of what this overall market looks like. Now, let's exclude the market outside the U.S. for a minute and say the S&P 500 large companies, the S&P mid-cap, S&P 400 mid-cap companies, mid-sized companies, and then the small-cap Russell 2000, a proper indicator. How about an index that picks the best quality companies by performance out of the three indices I just mentioned, large, mid, and small-cap companies? There is, in fact, an index that does that. It's called the S&P 1500. Not bad, huh? And you can buy that as an exchange-traded fund. You could buy the S&P 1500. Not a bad place to be. Now, if you want a broad picture of the overall market, then maybe even a little broader than that, then you could buy the Total Stock Market Index. They call it the Total Index. Now, actually, the first company to create one of those was Vanguard, one of their more popular funds. Now, admittedly, their S&P 500 fund was their most popular. But I think that a better fund for broad exposure to the markets, large, mid, and small cap, was their Total Market Index, which was a pretty darn good index portfolio. Now, you can purchase an exchange-traded fund, which by their nature tends to be very tax-efficient. You're not seeing a lot of buying and selling going on in an index that mirrors the broad market. The symbol, it's under iShares. iShares is a company run by Barclays, or in this case, BlackRock now, I-T-O-T. And it's a simple symbol, I for iShares and T-O-T for Total Market Index. Again, not a bad place to be. Now, these are ideas not for everyone, but if you want to have an exposure to, say, you know, the domestic market as a large part of your portfolio, and then move your way into a broader general exposure, then you could go in with ITOT. That'll give you that U.S. domestic stock holdings. Then you could buy EFA, another exchange-traded fund, that particular index is going to be, it's going to be an international weighting, mostly Europe. And then if you want a little bit, throw in maybe 10% exposure to the emerging markets, EEM is the symbol there. So again, you can mix it up the way you like. You could go 50% ITOT, you could go 40% EFA, and you could go 10% EEM. Is that right for everybody? No. But for a fairly young and aggressive investor who doesn't want to have a lot of bond exposure but wants a general exposure globally, that may not be a bad place to start if you have a limited amount of money. And you can do that with $10,000 or $15,000. Talk to your broker. Talk to the people at the online trading service that lets you do this because you can buy it that way. Hey, folks, I'm Don Sawyer. You're listening to the Money Talk program on AM 790, your home of talk and business. This is Money Talk, and I'll be right back.
It's time for the Dunkin' Donuts Regional Traffic, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. It's the summer of coffee at Dunkin'. Try a new s'mores frozen Dunkin' coffee, butter pecan iced coffee, or coconut cream pie cold brew today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Earlier trouble on 95 South up in Pawtucket. All cleared out now. So 95 South and the Rubberneckers on 95 North all gone. Things moving better through that stretch. 195 westbound, you're easygoing from Seekonk all the way into the split. Looking good on 146 and 6 as well. I'm Rich Teeter with your right now traffic.
Sponsored by TheraWorks Relief. To relieve muscle cramps in your legs and feet, use TheraWorks Relief. This fast-acting foam can even prevent muscle cramps. Get TheraWorks Relief today at TheraWorksRelief.com.
With the Bloomberg Business of Sports Report, I'm Michael Barr. A divided Ohio Supreme Court took an unprecedented step that could help petitioners detonate the Cleveland Cavaliers Stadium funding deal. A court ruled that the Cleveland City Council clerk had to accept and count signatures on a petition to repeal a ticket tax that will contribute $45 million to renovate the stadium. The total cost of renovations is about $140 million. The clerk had argued that she couldn't accept the petitions because the repeal of the ordinance would mean an unconstitutional breach of contract against the deal that was signed between the city, county, and stadium developers. Ice Cube, who is behind the 3-on-3 basketball league, has a big wish. He told KTLA Morning News he hopes one day retired Lakers star Kobe Bryant will join the Big Three. No word from Bryant. Meanwhile, another former Laker, Lamar Odom, could be open to joining the league. And that is a Bloomberg Business of Sports report. I'm Michael Barr.
There's absolutely nothing traditional about my small business. And when it comes to technology, I need someone who understands my unique needs. That's where my Dell Small Business Technology Advisor comes in. With one phone call, he sets me up with tailored products and services. And when my advisor is focused on my tech, I can focus on my small business.
Get end-to-end solutions with the help of a Dell Advisor, including PCs featuring Intel Core processors. Call an advisor today at 877-BY-DELL.
Guys don't really talk about antiperspirant. Despite that, 91% of Dove Men Plus Care users recommend it. Here's what they said.
It blocks the, perspiration, I think is the fancy word.
It's comfortable. It smells nice. My girl likes the smell.
Well, it's
hard.
I think it's quite masculine. My underarms aren't the worst thing at the gym.
It's kind of like the Hoover Dam from my armpits, I guess.
Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant. Tough on sweat, not on skin.
Attention property owners, this is David from Sampson Realty.
And this is Marty. If you're considering selling your property, then you should give us a call. We can help you come up with an asking price that makes sense.
Our experienced agents are very friendly and helpful and will assist you every step of the way.
So please call us at 401-454-5454. Visit SampsonRealty.com or just stop by our office at 346 Wickedon Street on Providence's East Side.
Thank you from Sampson Realty.
Listen up, homeowners looking to make changes in your home. This is Matt Allen here for Northeast Kitchen and Flooring Center. Now's the perfect time. Whether you're looking for a small remodel of a kitchen or a bathroom or a complete renovation, their service and pricing cannot be beat. Everyone works for them. They handle everything from plans to the final installation, and you'll receive weekly emails with a full schedule of your project. So do what I did. Call Northeast Kitchen and Flooring now to take advantage of 10% off all Waypoint cabinets. And make sure you check them out online at nekitchenandflooring.com.
This is Money Talk with Don Sowa, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
I welcome you back to this segment of tonight's Money Talk program. I am Don Sowa. Thanks for tuning in. Enjoy having you here, part of the longest running financial talk program in the universe. At least in this area. I'm no longer aware. I was at one time of any show in the world of financial talk on, talk radio, call-in talk radio, that actually has been on the air, nonstop as long as we have now. The Dolans used to be. They were Smart Money with the Dolans down in New York City. They've been guests on the Money Talk show here. I've been guests on their show. They've been very kind to me. I think that they're still in the business, certainly, writing books and touring, and I'm sure that they're great. They do a wonderful speaking engagements, but I'm not sure they're doing radio any longer, I've been told. They were the longest running from what I knew, so once they got off the air, we started just a few years after them, so we figure we're going to be pretty darn close. I'm going to wait for some official organization, some official entity to come out before we start making claims of being the longest running, but we're pretty close to it. What makes that important is, quite frankly, is that it means that we've seen the evolution, not of the talk show genre, the radio, but the evolution of the client, the evolution of you. You are the on-air client to those of us, I mean, who broadcast. You're out there in your cars, or you're at home, or in your office, or wherever you listen to us, the world of talk radio, you're the client. You are our concern. You're our focus. And the information that I try to provide here for the last 26 years is information that I believe you are probably interested in. I know that, you know, I started out doing the show myself when I was back there in my 30s. So a lot of you came along with me. I have had the pleasure of running into some of our listeners that go back and said, I heard your very first show on the air back in 1991 or whatever. And I said, wow. And some of them actually would remember some of the things that were said at the time. They remember probably the biggest guests we ever had back in the day, like Peter Lynch and Louis Rukeyser, all people who had been major stars. And I mean, the guys that people like I, in my field, they're my celebrities. They're my superstars, guys like Lynch and them, and even others, people that are still known today, like Larry Kudlow and others had done the show over the years out of the back when CNBC wasn't broadcasting all day long on Monday through Fridays. They came on in their own light, and we've had Mary Farrell and a number of the guests that were the big names during that era back at that time. But what it did was allowed us to find out what's really important to the public. Our listeners are at the center of that. And just taking the news, I mean, you get the news from numerous sources during the day. So, yes, a lot of people already knew that we had a good day in the market today, and the market was up several points. Last week wasn't a great, you know, the S&P was down 1.4%. Now, this week, we try to figure out why things happen. And, yes, the market is emotionally driven. There are things, a lot of people will buy and sell, make commitments financially based on how they feel, more so than what they think. So that if they're feeling good, if they're feeling confident, they're feeling better than they did last week, maybe they are willing to vote those feelings with their money. Now, what we're seeing right now is a bit of a relief rally, I guess. A lot of negative news going on last week. You know, economists were looking at different things. You had a lot of rhetoric out there between North Korea and the United States. That's been toned down a little bit, at least for the moment. The Secretary of State, Tillerson, the U.S. Secretary of Defense, Mattis, they stated that the current U.S. administration would continue to pursue diplomatic resolutions with Pyongyang. That's saying Washington versus the capital of North Korea. On Sunday, the two U.S. officials wrote in a commentary piece published in the Wall Street Journal that the U.S. has no interest in regime change or accelerated reunification of Korea, at least they think that some people don't. Anyway, I guess my screen's not working today. No, God darn it. But we do have somebody on the telephone. We do take calls, by the way, 437-5000. We have usually they can plug the information right on the screen, but for some reason or other, it's not working out for us.
Jim from Pawtucket.
Oh, well, Jim from Pawtucket's on the line, so we better have a chat with him. James, welcome to the Money Talk program. Happy VJ Day.
Hi, Don. Same to you. Don, I had just a quick question. How much money would it cost you to have $3,000 a month pension?
Well, again, there's
like
a couple.
Retiring, like it say, like if I was like 63 and my wife was like 59 and a half.
Okay, what they're doing? There's a couple of different ways, James, to actually calculate it. Now, one way that allows you to retain control of the money. Now, you got to understand what I'm saying. There's what we call capital depletion method, which actually has you drawing monthly income out of your plan. It assumes a certain rate of return and rate of inflation, allowing you to make adjustments as time goes by. But it asks an interesting question. It assumes that at the end, the final question is, and for how long would you like to receive this money? What are they asking? They're asking how long you're going to live, right?
Would actually be from like company pensions. I was just curious how much money it would be. So,
okay, you know. What they're doing is they're looking in the kind of rule of thumb, and it's not as accurate as it could be, but it's 20 times the amount that you would be looking for. So if you had said, okay, I'm $36,000 a year in my pension. And remember, the good news is it's what we call, this is in the financial planning world, this is called a dependable source of income, a pension. It's also a fixed annuity. This is an immediate annuity. So your company, if they're providing you with a pension, is going to hand over a lump sum of capital to an insurance company. And they're going to say, based on your age and the amount that they give over and whatever the current annuitization rate is. And that does change, which makes the calculation a little more difficult. But even Dave Ramsey, I've heard him throw that same number around, that 20 times. So 360,000 would be basically 10 times. So 720,000 would be the 20 times.
Okay.
So I would say in that 720 to 750 range is pretty darn close if they were to, in the case of the, in your description, because they handed over that money, it's gone. But what they're trading in that chunk of money for is a promise to pay Jim a monthly check for $3,000 a month for the rest of your life.
Right.
Now, if you want, that number can change a little bit, and based upon if you want a survivor benefit for your wife. I mean, in other words,
we would probably. Well, that's with the survivor benefit included. Yeah.
Well, again, those numbers are pretty close. People don't get how valuable a pension is. A $3,000 monthly pension for the rest of your life when you start that thing out in your late 50s, early 60s, that is, we're talking about something, I mean, maybe I'm stretching here, but when it's not that far off $1 million value. If you really think, especially if you realize that they're looking at one person's age and they're saying, okay, we're going to pay you this much for as long as you live. And then if you die prematurely or anywhere along the way, then we're going to pay either the same amount or some slightly reduced amount to your spouse or beneficiary for as long as she lives. So that's why these numbers get to be pretty big. And right now, given where annuitization rates are and the way the insurance companies have them structured, I'd say if they're promising you something in that range of about $3,000 at the ages you're talking about, you're looking at a $750,000, $750,000 value. It's good. Now, if by chance you also contributed, you or your wife, to a 401k or a 403b plan?
Oh, yeah, we both have those, too.
Well, if you've got those, too, you've got it made, because my big complaint about the pension was that you're going to get $3,000 a month, but that's all you're going to get. You're going to get that amount for the rest of your life, and as you get older, remember, 10 years down the road, you've lost a third of the purchasing power. So $3,000 is only buying $2,000 worth of stuff 10 years from now.
Retire at 63, wait 3 years to stop my Social Security, and then wait, 6 years or something like that to collect my wife. So,
well, you know something, Jimmy, either that or just think of it from the perspective, retire when you want to, live comfortably as you can, knowing that at some point within a few years, you're suddenly going to get a big raise. What is it? You're going to start getting a Social Security check.
Yeah.
You remember, you weren't getting that before.
Right.
Okay, that's number one. And then number two, if you've got money in the 401k and 403b, that's the money you could leave invested in a balanced portfolio, earn 5 or 6% on it, and that's the money that's going to make up for the lack of a cost of living adjustment.
Yeah. Are we thinking of hitting that a little hot, like start, 4% right away, and we have, a fair amount of investment, so.
Well, take 3 or 4% out of there, but understand that you can raise that amount over time. As the principal grows, so say you draw out 3 or 4%, but you're growing it at 5. Believe it or not, that 1 or 1.5% difference is going to compound and grow, too.
That sounds good. All right, thanks.
Anybody in that condition, you're going to be in good shape, James.
Thank you.
Be good. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Money Talk program. I think we better go to break. Why don't we do that? We're going to take a quick break here on the Money Talk program, and we'll be back right after our halftime. Take care.
Too cold, too dry, too dusty, or too damp? Sound like your home or business? Call Continental Heating and Cooling, your indoor air quality specialists. Rhode Island's only Lennox Premier dealer and one of the oldest, most respected heating and air conditioning companies. They'll make sure your indoor air quality is the best it can be. Call 233-COOL today to schedule a free evaluation for your home or business. No obligation. Interest-free financing and rebates available. ContinentalENG.com.
Can you tell if the surfaces in this kitchen are crawling with bacteria that could cause chronic arthritis? Listen. You can't see it either. Wash surfaces, utensils, and hands with soapy water while preparing food, especially when handling raw meats or eggs. Raw food may contain bacteria that can make you very sick or worse. Roughly 3,000 Americans will die from food poisoning this year, but you can keep your family safer. Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
This is Amy from Moriarty's Fence, the Invisible Fence brand pet safety experts. The Invisible Fence brand works for all dogs, all breeds, all ages. We start training puppies as young as 10 to 12 weeks old, and we also keep cats safe at home, too. The key to our 27 years of success is our customer service and pet training support. Our installed outdoor safety solutions start as low as $7.99 and can be customized for your property. Call 800-225-0808 for a free design and pet consultation visit, or schedule online at MoriartysFence.com. At Moriarty's Fence, we work hard so you can rest easy knowing your pet is safe at home.
But it just makes sense.
And it's invisible.
It's the fence that makes sense. Get the invisible fence.
Moriarty's Fence, 800-225-0808. Keeping pets safe since 1986. Moriarty's Fence reminds you to support your local shelter, adopt, volunteer, donate.
Hey, I'm Brant. Just read this news item about the two things that are stressing Americans out the most. Thought this was interesting. They say we're losing a record amount of sleep because of these two things. Number one, healthcare expenses. And the second thing, saving for retirement. The two biggest stressors. But what's remarkable? You can make a phone call right now and actually take action on both of these at once. Just call MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses, and it works beautifully. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993. Most members save about $500 a month compared to other healthcare plans. Imagine having a great healthcare plan and adding $500 for your retirement every month. One call, two less things to stress about, and that can help you sleep better at night. Here's the number. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-91-BIBLE.
This is Money Talk with Don Soa, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
And we welcome you back to the Money Talk program. This is Don Soa. Glad to have you joining us. Mentioning that, yeah, things have calmed down a little bit. We'll see for how long in terms of the world of all the, you know, the kids who, you know, can't play well together in the playground. You know, Kim Jong-un, because he's definitely a kid, versus the our 70-year-old president kid. And anybody else in between. I mean, I guess Putin should fall into that category, too. These guys, you know, they're all saying, hey, fine. I'll you play by my rules, or I'm just going to take my ball and go home. I guess they never understood the real issue of playground rules. But as I suggested, you know, we're getting mixed messages. That's problematic. And the market doesn't like uncertainty. But for today, stocks were also helped. Signs of some global growth. We listened to what happens in other countries, especially countries we do business with. Japanese economy posted better than expected economic growth for the second quarter, growing at an annualized rate of 4%, which is about 2% greater rate than in the United than the U.S. is right now. Investors also dumped safe haven assets such as gold and other precious metals, as futures for the month of December delivery fell about 0.4%. But it's still up around $12.89 per ounce. That's a pretty decent number. It hit a two-month high last week. Again, it's used as a safe haven number. We're not seeing the other things that would push gold and silver higher, for example, would be things like inflation, concern about inflation. Looking at monetary policy out there, I'm not really sure you're going to see a lot of inflationary pressures to push things like gold and silver and other fixed assets higher. In our experience, the geopolitical stocks tend to provide a bit of a buying opportunity unless there is an underlying economic slowdown, as was the case prior to the Iraq invasion of Kuwait. Clear-cut overvaluation or a monetary tightening all can create pressure as well, according to Andrew Garthwaite. He's with Credit Suisse. He's put that out in a note to his clients, saying that even if the main proponent's behavior may appear aggressive, their advisors and sponsors are likely to act as a bit of an ameliorating force, but keep things keep things stable, a little bit quiet things down a bit. Now, the CBOE volatility index, the VIX, you've heard about that, widely considered the best gauge of fear in the market. We're not seeing a lot of that around, traded around 12.4, down about 20%. 12.4 is a very low level for the VIX. Now, the index posted its largest weekly gain since December of 2015 last week after the North Korea situation kind of escalated with some strong warnings coming from Kim Jong-un and our President Trump. August has been historically bullish for volatility, although we'll likely need to see some smoothing out of the movement in the VIX before you see another spike occurs. Another macro event like action taken in North Korea or other black swan type events that are out there could be problematic. In the meantime, no major data came out today. In Europe, stocks were trading in the black. They're positive with the STOX 600, a stocks index, advancing about 1%. Europe, Asia's markets also finished trading on a mostly positive note. Investors digesting another batch of data unto themselves. Now, this program, the Money Talk program, always has an open door, open mic, open phone policy for you folks. I mentioned to you that, yes, you can call up at 437-5000. That's our local number during the show. People actually called during in prior shows. I mean, Dave Ramsey was on prior to my show this evening, and we actually got some phone calls during that spread. But I was in my office today, came back after a week's vacation, and there was some messages there. People go online to our website at soafinancial.com, and they click on the radio program, the Money Talk icon, and they get in there. And we have a place in there that you can leave suggestions or you can ask questions that we will answer and address here on the Money Talk program if you like. Now, as it turned out, having been gone for a week, you get a bunch of questions. And what I decide to do sometimes, especially when this does occur, is to actually find questions that are either the same. Sometimes people will ask the same question. It's not always rare, but it happens. Or similar. In other words, on the same type of a topic. Now, we get a lot of questions related to, obviously related to retirement. And, individuals, are looking for, alternatives to some of the more traditional things that they hear about. If you've saved a lot of money, obviously, that's going to put you in a good position when you get to retirement. If you've maxed out your contributions to the Social Security system, that gives you a slightly higher paycheck from Social Security each month once you're eligible. If you are lucky enough to be among the rare people who actually gets a pension, a monthly check after a certain age for the rest of your life from your company, wow. I mean, we're not seeing too many of those around anymore, folks, so you're very fortunate if you have one. Those all fall under the category of dependable sources of income. Now, if you haven't got access to those types of things, if you have not got a pension of any sort, so you're going to depend upon creating income yourself in retirement once you retire, and you're no longer getting that regular paycheck, you have to start looking to the alternatives that are out there. You have to, of course, 401k and 403b and IRA-type programs are all what we call defined contribution plans, meaning that you put in money, you contribute money into the plan, and, what you will receive or can possibly receive in retirement as income will depend upon how successful and disciplined you were over a lifetime of saving into those plans. Now, once you get to a certain amount, I mean, for an example, if you've saved $100,000 in your 401k plan and you're going to invest it in a manner that might pick up 4 or 4.5% return, and you decide that, well, a comfortable level to draw out, knowing that I can't guarantee that 4 to 4.5% rate, but maybe that's a reasonable rate. It's not an overly aggressive rate, like saying you think you're going to get 9 or 10% return, which is a very aggressive, probably unrealistic level. You may see individual years where you can do high single-digit returns or even more better. But honestly, over time, and given that retirement can be a very long time, we have to go with a much more dependable strategy than that. So if you're using a number, say, well, what can I target as a reasonable return? If you want to go on the high end, say 5%. That's a high end. It is. And you're not going to get it all the time. You may average out to it over some time, but let's say if you're going to using 4 to 4.5 as a target and you're going to invest in what your investments closely, or if you're working with an advisor, you, 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 the the two of you or three of you are on a on the same page. Make sure your advisor understands you, understands your goals, understands what you're trying to accomplish, and understands your mindset. Because you got to live with this. This is a relationship. It's a partnership with your advisor. And you've got to, you don't want to, if you can't sleep at night, make sure your advisor knows that. And then decide to draw money out of the plan that will not represent a risk factor unto itself. Systematic withdrawals from an investment plan. Once you start doing that, then you, the investor, become, or you, the retiree, become a risk factor in your own plan, just as the market is, just as the investment portfolios are, just as the economy is. These are risk factors that you have to wrestle with and contend with once you get to retirement. But once you do retire and start drawing income out, we call it a system SWIP, systematic withdrawal plan, from your investments, you become a risk factor because now you're drawing income out. Now, granted, if you're drawing 3% out and you've targeted the plan on average over time to do 4 or 4.5, well, that's not unrealistic. But, of course, remember, it's not guaranteed. You're going to have years where you do 5 and 6%. Good for you. You're going to have years where you do 1% or minus 2. Now, if you get a minus 2% return in a given year, you have a bad year. Do you remember 08 by chance, 2008? That was a bad year. Stuff went down. Let's be more conservative than that and say, okay, minus 2, but you drew out 3. You have to draw some money out. You're living on this, right? Well, then the principal value of your account just went down 5. You were assuming you'd be earning at least the 3 that you're drawing. And you're hoping that it would even grow faster than that, maybe 4 or 4.5. You're drawing out 3. You're leaving 1.5 behind to increase the value of your principal. Capital preservation is the term I'm using there. A plan that has you actually drawing out more money than the plan can reasonably earn is called capital depletion. Now, you can run the numbers. There's formulas. There's programs on the computer for free, by the way, to let you do these calculations. But the calculation will assume that's going to allow you to pull out more money than, say, if I said it's growing at 4.5 or 5%, you're going to be pulling out, you could pull 6% out. But if it's going to grow at 4.5 and you're pulling out 6, guess what? Sooner or later, you're going to run out of principal. You're going to run out of money. That's why they call it capital depletion. It's also why one of the questions in the software program is, how long would you like to receive this money? Now, if you're going to retire at 65 or 66 and say, well, I'm going to live to be, let's take it out 20 years. Well, that means you're assuming that you're going to live to be 86, and after 86, you think you're not going to need that money anymore. Because the plan is, has you growing the money at a certain rate and drawing money out of it at a certain rate. You are a risk factor. You're placing a demand on the portfolio. And it's, guess what? You get to age 86. What do you do then if you're still here? My mom and dad are in their 90s. And then honestly, given the longevity of their family members that they both had, they probably wouldn't have told me plan on 90 or 95 years old. God bless them. I mean, they're still here. But again, they've had to. Of course, I've always said they had a good retirement plan. They had 6 sons. And I, as the financial person within the group, said, okay, they are your retirement plan. And guess what? They said, there will be no inheritance from mom and dad. We're going to make sure that they live a good, long, comfortable life while they're here. And but don't expect there some sort of inheritance to be part of your retirement plan. It doesn't work that way, typically. Especially when you have 6 sons and you put a lot of them through school, right? It can be a very, very expensive endeavor. Now, among the things I'm going to talk about in the last segment of the show is one more choice you have, one more option you have to assist you with a stable monthly retirement income, maybe to supplement what you can get from Social Security in your other savings. Yep, that's the question I was getting while I was away on vacation, and we'll address it briefly, and we'll do an entire show on it maybe tomorrow. So tune in tomorrow for Money Talk Get Back to Basics, because this is definitely a Get Back to Basics topic. I'll be right back.
It's time for the Dunkin' Donuts Regional Traffic, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. It's the summer of coffee at Dunkin'. Try a new s'mores frozen Dunkin' coffee, butter pecan iced coffee, or coconut cream pie cold brew today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
No problems on this holiday Monday coming in and out of Providence on 95. Looking good in either direction. If you're on 146 or 6, trouble-free coming in. 195 west from Seekonk into the split looks good. You're fine on the eastbound side all the way out to the Braga Bridge. I'm Rich Teeter with your right now traffic.
Sponsored by 24/7 Diabetic Help Hotline. Attention diabetics, now you can get your testing supplies delivered to your home. Free delivery and a free meter. Call the 24/7 Diabetic Help Hotline, 800-808-5181.
Healthy Fresh Art Mart.
This week, enjoy Art Smart products your family will eat up. One serving of Van Gogurt contains the live and active culture your kids need. Buy one, get higher test scores free. And nothing satisfies a child's craving for self-expression like Tchaikovsky's Nutcrackers, now with more music and dance in every bite. Try original flavor or new Sugar Plum Fairy. Feed your kids the arts. Visit AmericansForTheArts.org to learn how. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAM Foundation, and the Ed Council.
More than 100 million wild animals are killed each year illegally. Poaching is a major threat to our country's wildlife. I'm Tom Barry. I'm an actor with a desire to preserve living space for wildlife. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust does just that. Works with private landowners to protect wildlife, to preserve natural habitats. To learn more or to work with the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, call 800-729-SAVE. That's 800-729-SAVE or visit wildlifelandtrust.org.
Hey, I'm Brant. Just read this news item about the two things that are stressing Americans out the most. Thought this was interesting. They say we're losing a record amount of sleep because of these two things. Number one, healthcare expenses. And the second thing, saving for retirement. The two biggest stressors. But what's remarkable? You can make a phone call right now and actually take action on both of these at once. Just call MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses, and it works beautifully. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993. Most members save about $500 a month compared to other healthcare plans. Imagine having a great healthcare plan and adding $500 for your retirement every month. One call, two less things to stress about, and that can help you sleep better at night. Here's the number. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-91-BIBLE.
This is Money Talk with Don Sowa, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
All right, folks, we're back now. This topic is also one that you see on a lot of different commercials. Now, what they do is they bring out somebody that people know. And it has to be somebody that has some level of credibility for being sort of that wise, person that has credibility, a credible individual. And so sometimes they'll have somebody who's older. Although lately I've noticed that the spokesperson for this industry, for this category, has changed a little bit. And the spokesperson that I'm talking about is Tom Selleck. Now, Tom used to be one of my favorites as Thomas Magnum in Magnum P.I. Not necessarily a little more goofy back in those days, a little less credible driving around in his Ferrari. Now, of course, he's in True Bloods, and he's taken on that role. He's a little bit older now, still a very handsome guy. He's got that great voice, really, really great voice. And he has credibility. He's the role that he plays on as the New York's police commissioner. Makes him a credible individual. And he's talking about reverse mortgages. And it's a topic that's come out an awful lot. Now, I am not a person that says you should plan on using the equity in your home as part of your income in retirement. Let me say that again. I'm not suggesting you should plan on that. But I've always believed, even in the early days when I didn't really like the design or the structure of reverse mortgages as a product, because they were, at the time, complicated and expensive. Most people didn't understand them, and they weren't being explained very well. Selleck says that in the commercial. He says, I used to have a problem with this too, and ultimately, in the end, everybody that I've talked to who had a problem or misunderstanding about reverse mortgages had that misunderstanding because they just couldn't understand them. They had misimpressions. Well, it's a type of home loan for older homeowners. So if you're 50 years old, don't talk to your lender or your bank about a reverse mortgage. You're not eligible. It requires no monthly mortgage payments. This is the interesting part of it. You're going to use the equity in your home to supplement your other sources of income during your retirement years. It may be, for a great many people, one of the largest assets that you have. And it's especially valuable to you if you've already paid off your primary mortgage. It's an asset you own. You have the benefit of living in it. It's your homestead. You might have a lot of memories there. And you now can use that value, which can be, you may have put $50,000, $60,000 into the purchase of that house, and here it is today worth $250,000. Again, depending on how many years ago you bought it. Borrowers are still responsible, of course, for property taxes and homeowner's insurance. So, as well as proper maintenance of the property, you are dealing with a partnership here with a lender, right? And you have an obligation to the lender as well as to yourself to keep up that property and to maintain that property obligations, taxes, and homeowner's insurance. Now, reverse mortgages allow the older individual homeowner to access that equity, the equity that you've built up in the house now, and to maybe defer the payment of that loan until you either pass away, so it's being handled by your estate, or you sell the property, or you move out of the house. You've got to be, as the primary, the loan individual, the person who has the mortgagee in this case, you have to be a resident of the property. Now, if you move out and end up in a nursing home or an assisted living someplace else, or you move in with your daughter-in-law, whatever you choose to do, if you're no longer living there, that's going to be an element of the contract that will make the whole thing come due. The lender could require you to sell the house or to come up with all the money that you've taken out of it at some point. But the cool thing about it is, you're using this equity, and you do not have to pay that money. You're not going to make payments to the bank or to the lender. Now, because there are no required mortgage payments on a reverse mortgage, the interest is added to the loan balance each month instead of something that you have to pay out directly. The rising loan balance, of course, can eventually grow, possibly, depending upon how long you live, could grow to exceed the value of the house, particularly in times of declining home values. We've seen times, when the home values are going up 6, 7, 8% every year. Well, you don't have to worry about a reverse mortgage in a case like that. But there were periods that followed where property values declined. Or, say the borrower continues to live in the home for many, many, many years, it could all be problematic. However, the borrower or the borrower's estate is generally not required to repay any additional loan balance in excess of the value of the home at the time of its sale. That's the government guarantee. These are structured under the Department of HUD, Housing and Urban Development. Specific rules for reverse mortgage transactions, they do vary depending upon the laws of the jurisdiction in which they're written. For example, in Canada, the loan balance cannot exceed the fair market value of the home by law. Now, one may compare a reverse mortgage with a conventional mortgage where the homeowner makes a monthly payment to the lender on an ongoing basis. And after each payment, the homeowner's equity increases by the amount of the principal included in that payment. That doesn't happen specifically in a reverse mortgage. Now, regulators and academics have given sort of mixed commentary on reverse mortgage on the marketplace itself. Now, some economists argue that reverse mortgages may actually benefit the elderly by smoothing out their income and in perhaps consumption patterns over time. Now, there are other people, including regulatory authorities such as the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, who are going to try to take worst-case scenario, and well, they should. And they would argue under certain cases that the reverse mortgages are complex products, and I still agree they are, just like we talk about variable and annuity products being complex. That doesn't mean they're not good, but they are complicated. They're complex products, and they're very difficult for most consumers to understand. This may be the biggest complaint that consumer groups have, especially in light of some misleading advertising. There's basically some areas out there such as low quantity counseling. If the quality that you're getting from counseling professionals is not good. And, of course, the risk of some fraud. There could be fraud, and there could be scams out there. So you're going to want to work with a reputable lender. I've had, as a financial planning professional over decades, we've had a handful of cases where we've counseled, not specifically clients, but their family members. Like we had some clients whose mother and father were looking into the possibility of doing a reverse mortgage. And we said that as a courtesy to our client, the son and daughter-in-law of the potential mortgagee, they brought in the paper. I said, bring the paperwork in. We'll look at it through. We'll look at the lender. We'll talk to the Better Business Bureau folks, and we'll look at the quality of the company. But more importantly, understanding that not every reverse mortgage is designed for every single person. They're not all created equal. Some of them are. And by the way, you're going to get a variety of choices as to how you take the money out of your home. Now, one reason to do a reverse mortgage that may not be specifically intended to create monthly income for you in retirement would be is if you're still carrying an outstanding mortgage on your house, and let's say that you're carrying one that's a little higher than normal, well, that you could actually do the reverse mortgage, borrow the money from the house that's allowable, pay off the outstanding remaining mortgage on your property, and what have you gained? You no longer have to make a monthly principal and interest mortgage payment on your house. So you're reducing your debt obligation and carrying it out into the time when you no longer need the home, no longer need the money, and let your estate deal with it. Hey, folks, call and tune in tomorrow. I'm going to talk about some of the detailed issues related to the choice and the appropriateness of reverse mortgages for some of you in the world of retirement financial planning. I'm Don Sowa. This is the Money Talk program. In the meantime, have a good night and happy VJ Day.